Today I'm going to be presenting data related to the natural disease suppression of a fungal pathogen. In this case, it's Rhizoctonia solani AG8. We're going to provide some evidence for both direct competition and competitive exclusion. So if you weren't here earlier for Gupta's talk, what is natural disease suppression? Well, it's the ability of a soil to suppress disease even in A, the presence of a pathogen, B, favorable environmental conditions, and C, the presence of a host plant. This is thought to be a property of natural systems that somehow disappears once we start to intensively manage the soils. We do have previous results for this work. It was based on a one-year fungal study. It was published in PLOS One about a year ago, which said that suppression is significant compared to its non-suppressive field counterpart. It occurs in the presence of the pathogen, is transferable through pod assays, and appears through our statistical analysis that we used then to be driven by what we called a cohort of fungal players, about 10 or so fungi that kept on coming up through indicator species analysis, through similarity percentage analysis, as being indicative of a suppressive soil. So now we've moved this one-year project into 2 years. At each one of the years, we sample two times, one time at sowing, one time at in-crop being 6 weeks into crop development. This is the peak of Rhizoctonia infection. We have a highly suppressive soil, whose name is Avon, along with its non-suppressive counterpart. We also have a moderately suppressive field and its non-suppressive counterpart. The non-suppressive fields are generally located within several thousand meters of each other and undergo the same crop management techniques. For this study, it was the purpose of sampling was to reduce spatial heterogeneity. We have four different GPS points in the field. At each one of those GPS points, two sets of eight cores were collected. The eight cores were mixed together to form eight cores or replicates per field. For each one of those replicates, we extracted DNA from a 100-gram sample, so this further reduced spatial heterogeneity. This was sequenced with the bacterial V4V5 on Illumina and 28S using LR3 LROR primers on 454. So we ended up with about 3 million quality filtered sequences after initial processing. After resampling, we ended up with about 470,000 sequences for fungi and bacteria. This was taken through the ribosomal database projects a pipeline for Illumina, which is hosted on their High Performance Computing Center. And then we performed our regular clustering, 97% for bacteria, 95% for fungi, and classified with a naive Bayesian classifier at RDP as well. While in the other study and this study as well, we went on to do the ordination diversity, the regular statistics per MANOVA. We went on here to take this data through the Institute for Environmental Genomics at the University of Oklahoma. Their random matrix theory-based molecular ecological network analysis tool. And this is what I'll be presenting today. But to give you a little bit of context, here are the diversity measures. This is Shannon diversity over on the left, and P. loves evenness on the right. We also have Margalev's richness, which isn't shown here. In each one of these boxes, this is the highly suppressive site. Pointer is not working. But in general, the suppressive communities are more diverse, they are richer, and they are more even. Again, we're talking about fungi here. What we do see is that time plays an important role in shaping the community. In fungal communities, they are more affected by year-over-year changes, whereas the bacterial communities are more responsive. You know, they have a faster turnover time. So in a period of 6 weeks, we see significant changes in the soil bacterial community composition as we go from sowing to 6 weeks in crop. Our PERMANOVA analysis indicated that both treatment time, site, and year were all significant for the fungal community. So this is one of two slides I will show you with a comparison of our networks. What we see here is the time of sowing. In the upper left, we have our suppressive community. In the bottom right, we have our non-suppressive community. So each one of the points indicates a node. A node can be a taxa. This case is an OTU with a classification attached to it. The size of the node indicates the number of interactions that that node has with other nodes. Each line is an edge. Edges can be positive or negatively correlated, and these correlations can be causal, regulatory, or temporal in nature. When the nodes are arranged, in this case, in circles, each one of those is a module consisting of nodes which are correlating with each other in a certain fashion. These are sometimes called functional modules. It depends on what type of data is entered into it. In this case, we are talking about our fungal abundance data. So I just want you to look at the two of these, and there's no real apparent difference. If you just look at the topology, the architecture, everyone has modules. We have bullies. We have nodes that are large, that are interacting very highly with other nodes in both the suppression and the non-suppression soil. So really, just looking at these, you don't really see that big of a difference. So now let's move 6 weeks in time, the peak of Rhizoctonia infection, and see what happens to the suppression and the non-suppression soils. So immediately, if you look at the bottom right, that non-suppressive fungal community has collapsed. It went from a highly modular community with a lot of interactions within the modules to one with hardly any interactions at all. In fact, there's only one real module that is left that has a lot of interactions within itself over on the bottom right. Whereas if we compare this to the suppression community, we still have modules that are present. We still have actually more interactions occurring between modules than within modules compared to the time of sowing. So what we're seeing here is basically a breakdown. Both the suppressive community and the in-crop community, through the 6 weeks, through the introduction of plant roots, plant exudates, and possibly also due to the invasion of pathogens, has started to break down to some degree. But the suppressive soil appears to be more resilient, whereas the non-suppressive soil has just started to fall apart. So let's look at some of these numbers that underlie these networks. So we're going to look right here at connectedness. This is the bottom line right here. What you can see is that the suppression soil has higher connectedness at sowing versus non-suppression, though not by much. But really, it's that in-crop that we see that big difference occur. And sure enough, connectedness stays relatively the same for the suppressive community, but drops by about half for the non-suppressive community. So what does connectedness mean? So our suppressive soil is more connected. That community is more connected. When you have a highly connected community, it means that you're able, that community, the members of that community, are able to exploit resources efficiently. So if you have this efficient resource exploitation, everybody is able to obtain what they need to grow, then there's not going to be much left over for pathogens. And so theoretically, this reduces the invasion success of a pathogen. In addition, the higher diversity, the higher connectedness, and the larger number of nodes in the suppressive fungal communities says that it is indeed more resilient to change. In other words, the non-suppressive communities are more fragile to a disturbance. Now, in this case, that disturbance could be pathogen invasion, since we are at the peak of Rhizoctonia infection. It could be the difference of the pressures put on the community by the plant roots. In other cases, it could be drought. So we can go a little bit further into this by doing XiPi analysis. And what this allows us to do is to identify the OTUs that are quote-unquote controllers of either the structure of the network or the structure of the hub. So in the upper right-hand corner of each one of these graphs, if there was a dot there, which there is not, those would be network hubs. They would be controllers of the network, highly integrated into shaping the entire community. And again, we don't have any. In the upper left are the module hubs. Now, if we just look at the right-hand side over here, with the in-crop suppression versus in-crop non-suppression, we have 11 module hubs and 25 connectors in the suppressive soil, but we only have 2 module hubs and 8 connectors in the non-suppressive soil. So again, this is pointing to that relative decomposition, the breaking apart of the non-suppressive community. So these 11 module hubs are what we describe or use commonly as bullies within the modules. They are interacting highly with other members and keeping that module intact. Now, what came up as really interesting to us, and surprising that two different methods got the same result, was that when we identified these 11 module hubs, they ended up being almost the same as the 10 or so taxa that we identified from the first manuscript using similarity percentage analysis and indicator species. These include putative pathogens, endophytic bacteria, necrotrophic fungi, and saprophytes as well. Many of them are putative endophytes. So our primary hypothesis with the last paper was that these endophytes were possibly forming a shield, right? Competitive exclusion from invasion within the roots. And this is pointing to the fact that these putative endophytes, many of them, which serve as the network hubs, that serve as the module hubs, keeping this fungal network together, are possibly serving to resist pathogen invasion. So that's number one. And number two would be the direct competition for resources, because our suppressive network does not fall apart and they're utilizing resources more efficiently. So in summary, we did do bacteria as well. So we did bacteria over a period of 2 years in all of these samples. We constructed the networks. What we find are that there were no specific bacterial OTUs that were characteristic of suppression. In fact, what's kind of interesting is that the suppressive communities in bacteria appear to be more fragile to disturbance. In other words, they appear to allow more pathogen invasion, which is counterintuitive to what we've seen with the fungal networks. The fungal networks vary widely with time. We have a large change in the modularity, how many modules there are, how connected those modules are. And the community becomes less tightly linked, both in suppression and non-suppression, as the plant develops, as we get to the peak of Rhizoctonia infection. We find that the suppressive fungal networks are more resilient to change, to external stressors. In this case, we're saying that that is pathogen invasion. And these suppressive module hubs serve to confirm what we found earlier about this cohort of fungal players that appear to be characteristic of suppression in these soils. So with that, I'd like to thank co-authors. Of course, Gupta Vadakatu gave a talk earlier, my former mentor James Teagee, Stephen Neat, and others, and funding from Grains RDC, NSF, Research Coordination Grant, DOE, and also my poor grad student who did a lot of this, Julian Yu. Thank you. Any questions?
I didn't track the connection between connectedness and resource efficiency or access. Can you play out that line of thinking?
So if you have a highly connected network, the theory, so this came from a paper that was published just a little while ago, Trophic Network Architecture, Nature Communications. So what they did was a controlled assay to look at the network, I guess, stability in terms of pathogen invasion. And so the theory is that if you have high connectedness, then you have a lot of interactions occurring between your different nodes, your different taxa, and that results in high competition for resources. So in a highly connected network, you have a high competition for resources, and you can say from that efficient resource exploitation, maybe that's not the best term, but the high competition is resulting in potentially a lower availability of niches or substrates, nutrients for pathogen invasion to actually come in and occur. Any others? All right, thank you.